Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of three Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale Original 16. Official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
Welcome inside Flames Post Game Live. It's brought to you by Original 16, celebrating things done well. Brendan Parker alongside Ryan Dietrich here, breaking down a hockey game that puts a wrap on a four-game homestand here inside the Scotiabank Saddledome. Tonight, though, it is an unfortunate end to it. The Blackhawks come in and pick up a 5-1 victory here tonight. And, you know, a game, obviously, the Calgary Flames talked about. These were two discussed here this morning and really over the last couple of days about, you know, trying to make sure you get into that bye week, into the All-Star break, riding some of that momentum that you've built up with wins over Tampa and Columbus. And then yet tonight here, you know, not the results you're looking for. How did you see things unfold here this evening?
Yeah, tough one for sure, but you're right. Sort of a tough act to follow in some ways too. You're coming off a couple of, you know, just emotional victories, but a couple of games that had a lot of juice in them with, you know, such a good team in the Tampa Bay Lightning and then Johnny Gaudreau's return. I think they had some built-in emotion in those games that was, you know, just tough to follow up on. But for me, there were a few maybe concerning signs early in this game, and you never really want to judge a hockey game based on what you see in the first couple of shifts, but it seemed the Flames were sort of a step behind off the start, and the Blackhawks jumped out to a 4-0 lead in shots, and it just felt like the Flames really couldn't get going in that first period, despite getting that late goal from Jonathan Huberdeau. But yeah, they're kind of chasing it all night, and you know, as we'll see in a few moments here, the Blackhawks started to go to work in that second period, really penetrate the middle of the ice, and you know, well, the Flames were able to rack up some shots the rest of the way, but yeah, that was sort of their undoing tonight. They couldn't get to those high danger areas that ultimately were producing much of the offense in this game.
Yeah, I think Nazem Kadri told me right in the first intermission that we kind of sucked in that first period, and I think that would kind of describe what they were feeling. But yet, you sure leave it 1-1, and maybe as we kind of describe it, let's go through the highlights here and show you what happened here tonight, because it's always better to have a little visuals to go along with it. But you talked about some opportunities, and we'll talk a little bit about Jacob Markstrom and some of the quality work that he had here throughout the course of the game. We'll get into more of that as the game goes on. But this is the first goal of the night, and it comes from Taylor Radish kind of stepping off the wall, and it's a clean shot, and beats Jacob Markstrom for his 13th.
Yeah, Blackhawks kind of getting to work on the cycle a little bit, and you know, maybe this is one that Jacob Markstrom wants back, but you got to appreciate the play from Radish there. Kind of rotates into the, you know, the high slot area and sort of waits for some of those layers of traffic to develop. It's a really good shot, what can you say?
But the Flames do respond, and this comes with about 28 seconds left in the first period. A little bit of a spark and a little bit of life into the building. And how about the finish from Jonathan Huberdeau? It was the entry from Kadri, the finish by Hubie.
Yeah, you said it. Jonathan Huberdeau going to get a ton of credit. This is a magnificent solo effort, but Nazem Kadri, how about going 1-on-3 to enter the zone, makes that nice pass. Again, we talked about it off the top, getting to the middle of the ice. That's where the dangerous plays are going to happen. And when you see a player of that caliber make those kind of moves, that's the finish you're going to end up getting.
Yeah, that was sensational. 10th of the season, I believe he becomes the 5th or maybe the 6th now player to reach double-digit goals for the Calgary Flames. Andrew Mangiapane was the most recent. So then the second period, and it starts to swing in favor of the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, Boris Kachuk gets this one. That one goes off a body in front. Nikita Zadorov, I believe it bangs in off of. There was a little bit, couple of layers of traffic. And then this one right here is Patrick Kane. And how about the backhand pass to spring Jason Dickinson?
And that wasn't the first or the last that we saw the backhand sauce from Patrick Kane. We know how good he is on both ends of his stick. But, you know, this is sort of a preventable one for the Flames. Nikita Zadorov, Mackenzie Weegar kind of gets sucked into that one side of the ice. It opens up the middle. And when you have a shark like Patrick Kane on the ice, he's going to find those openings.
And it would continue from there in this middle period. And this one, a 2-on-1 that's partially broken up, or at least temporarily, by Blake Bowman diving back to help and assist Jonathan Huberdeau there too. But in this case, it does find its way through to Sam Lafferty, who scores with an open net on the far side.
Obviously a bit of a breakdown there. You see Huberdeau and Blake Coleman, valiant effort to get back, and he does get his stick on it. But not ideal when you have two forwards back defending a 2-on-1. Just didn't work out there.
So they put a wrap on it with an empty net. This one after a number of chances, a couple of power plays for the Calgary Flames, and a few really good looks. They end up out shooting Chicago heavily in the third period, 18-6. But obviously, you're down by three goals. You're kind of making a push. And some line changes, which, again, something we'll get into a little bit more here in just a moment. But, you know, obviously, that push in the third period is not meant to be. And it's finished off with the Mackenzie Entwistle. Actually, that was Connor Murphy, empty netter. Entwistle figuring into the conversation offensively here tonight for the Hawks as well. 5-1 was the final. As we wrap up those highlights, and maybe just for quickly before I think we have Daryl Sutter here close. Just want to, you know, circle back to the conversation on Jacob Markstrom, because I think you look at the scoreline here and, you know, obviously a disappointing finish, but there was some $10 saves, particularly early part, second period, early part of first period here. And we'll take a look at Markstrom's nights of work, but, you know, obviously a night where you would love some more run support and love a little bit more assistance early on, but he was really good for this team at some early points in both periods.
Absolutely. And maybe a bit of a confidence builder for him too. And, you know, we know at the end of the day, Jacob Markstrom judges himself based on wins and losses,
only,
but this is a good night for him, especially with the run that Dan Vladar has been on of late. So these are athletic stops too. Typically, Jacob Markstrom, maybe a bit more of the positionally sound type of goaltender, but he came to play tonight, and there was a point early on in this game where it could have got out of hand. I mean, just look at these side to side, getting those legs out.
Yeah, a couple on right here. Max Domi not once.
Massive.
Actually, that was Blackwell early on, but he had a couple in the second on Max Domi as well.
So we talked about them, the Flames, unable to sort of get their legs early in this game. Well, this is a good example. These are the types of looks they were giving up, and, you know, it gave them an opportunity, at least in the second period, to try and find their game. It didn't work out that way, but their goalie gave them everything they could ask for.
Yeah, frustration nonetheless, and obviously that will set in after a game like this tonight. But let's hear from the head coach now. Obviously, 5-1 the final here. Chicago wins it. Head coach Daryl Sutter is at the podium now. Let's listen in on his thoughts following the game.
I think we had a sluggish start. But I think, you know, they scored late in the first, and then Jonathan scores to make it 1-1, so it's tied after the first. Like, we made some good adjustments after the first period in terms of what we wanted to do different, but I think we made some glaring errors in the back end that cost us goals against. Then it's 4-1.
Doesn't worry you just how different this group plays without Chris Tanev?
Well, you know what, you're all, it's part of a team. You know, you got some defensemen that, even though they're younger guys, that also have to take some leadership in it too, in terms of direction and poise and that sort of thing.
Did you see anything you liked out of the new line combinations you tried during the game?
You know, I just tried to get a little bit more out of our group. I think that Jonathan was jumping, had some jump in his game, so he's just trying to get some poise with him and some puck play with him.
What's the message to your team after a night like tonight, Daryl?
Be better tomorrow. I mean, when you play back-to-backs, you got to turn around in a hurry, for sure.
What do you think led to the sluggish start tonight?
Well, I think, you know what, during the season you have sluggish starts. That's not, I mean, you'd say you have a good first period, a good third period, but I think for me more is, you know, I'm looking at it like this was the end of a homestand. So, you know, she ended up 500, and really, even though there's a break coming up, it's a five-game trip we're going on here. Right? You look at it in the big picture, so got to regroup in a hurry.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, there's some thoughts from head coach Daryl Sutter following tonight's 5-1 loss at the hands of the Chicago Blackhawks, and you know, I think there was a couple of things in there, specifically on Jacob Pelche, because that's something obviously a lot of people pick up as this game wears on. Subtle line change, and obviously Pelche moves up, starts playing alongside Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau, and you know, that line did generate. I think there was a couple of chances, even strength, and then Pelche even moved on to the 6-on-4 situation there near the end, but you know, some bigger minutes from Pelche here tonight, and maybe something to build on for him as well.
Yeah, key moments in a game too, right? You're trailing, you're trying to give your team a bit of a boost, and you know, it's funny because if you look at the two prior games that he's played, obviously limited ice playing in a fourth line capacity, but every time he's out there, you and I were kind of joking about this before the end of the game. We haven't thought that, oh, you know, tough play here for Pelche, or he's clearly not ready for this level. I mean, he's making smart, educated plays that often players, you know, take a little bit of seasoning to get to. And this play radio is a great example, because size has been such a talked about area of his game. He goes to the hard areas all the time to try to make things happen. He was buzzing in that third period, no question.
Well, and obviously, you know, a little bit more responsibility. You're on a line that, you know, obviously is thinking offense. You're down three goals, trying to generate a little bit more. And you heard, you know, Daryl talked a little bit about trying to, you know, generate a little bit more of that creativity and a little bit more of that offense, which I think we did see. But up to 15 minutes, 15:21 of ice time tonight, and that's after his first two NHL games that were below 10 minutes, you know, 6.5, I think it was, and then closer to 8, I think, in his second game. So three shots tonight and maybe something for a guy, you know, who plays some huge minutes, who plays some huge responsibility, high leverage spots for your, you know, affiliate team in the Wranglers and, you know, kind of more of what we'd probably expect to see on a nightly basis from him. And I'm sure that's, you know, as a player, something that you're looking forward to. You hear it from defensemen all the time about kind of feeling more into the flow of the game and trying to, you know, get your head into it, you know, in terms of just that rhythm. And I think probably a little bit of what we saw here.
Yeah, and part of me wonders how a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau factors into that equation too, because he can kind of take him a little bit under his wing and help show the ropes a little bit, right? Yeah. So, you know, Jacob Pelche, a guy who probably looked up to Jonathan Huberdeau growing up as well. So I think there's a certain element of, you know, let's go out there. Let's get it done together, right? And I like to see that because I think there's potentially something there. We're going to have to wait and see how this shakes out tomorrow night and beyond. But early returns, very positive.
Yeah, that's the other thing is you're playing a back-to-back here. Brett Ritchie has been skating as well, it should be noted, obviously with the team. And so, you know, there's some maybe opportunities to wrinkle up some things. Sure. Dennis Gilbert at best also recalled after Chris Tanev will miss these two games here. So we'll see what the lineup looks like as we get ready for the back-to-back in Seattle tomorrow night. Let's go inside the Calgary Flames locker room for the first time and hear from a member of the Calgary Flames. Who's standing by, guys? All right, Jonathan Huberdeau. Without further ado, let's go to Huberdeau now.
On tonight's loss?
Yeah, it's obviously it's unacceptable. I mean, you know, at home, and, you know, we need these points right now. So I think the, you know, the way we came out and the way we played, I mean, we too many outman rushes. I mean, they had so many chances, and you know, I feel bad for Markey because you know we've been playing lately and we're not playing good in front of him. So,
how early did concern set in for you that this team didn't have it going today?
I mean, not concern. I mean, we know we had it. I think we just you know didn't show it tonight. But I mean, one more game before the break. You don't need to win, and we know Seattle is a really good team right now, so it's going to be a really good test for us. And you know, after you get a break, I'm back for the last stretch, and most important.
I know you just had a game in Chicago a few weeks ago. Did you underestimate those guys tonight?
Oh, it sure looks like it. I mean, you know, I think they come in here, and you know, we know it's not the best team in the league. You know, they're the bottom of the standing, and we can't disrespect that. You know, that's a lesson. And, you know, they came in and they played well.
After a game like tonight, what's the mood like in the locker room?
Well, obviously, you know, we're not happy. So, but, you know, I think, you know, that's hockey. So you got to forget about it, regroup, and we're right back at it tomorrow. So.
I know it doesn't mean as much in a loss, but can you just take us through that goal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good bounce in the slot and after that, just try to make a move and, you know, score a goal. That's about it. I've got to take that for confidence and, you know, playing better.
So often, you know, over into the second, did you see any hints of that or just?
Yeah, I thought, you know, that was because we didn't have, you know, the best start and, you know, come out of the first period and we're tied 1-1. So, and then the second, you know, kind of didn't come out the way we wanted and they took advantage of that.
Any theories as to why maybe there wasn't a time of engagement to open the first and second period by the team?
I don't know. I wish, you know, if we had the answer, we would have done it. But I think it's just, you know, these kind of night. But, you know, we know till the end of the year these nights can really happen, you know, too often. Because, you know, we're at a time of the year, you know, you need every point you can get. So.
Okay, thank you guys.
All right, Jonathan Huberdeau there. His thoughts, he scores his 10th goal of the season, and we saw it rolled back through that interview, and it was pretty sensational stuff. 10 goals or more players for the Calgary Flames this year. I probably could have worded that better, but you get the idea. Six players with 10 goals or more. He joins that club. Andrew Mangiapane last game, and now Jonathan Huberdeau. So that has been kind of the MO of this hockey team, is kind of spread that through the entire lineup. Let's quickly, before we're going to hear from another guest inside the Calgary Flames locker room, but let's talk a little bit about Tyler Toffoli, because I know obviously not a game that you're going to look back on and necessarily have fond memories of in terms of the game itself, but 700 in his career, and spoke a little bit this morning, had some lighthearted jabs to go along with it. But, you know, what has a guy like Tyler Toffoli meant to this club in terms of since he's come over a little bit before the deadline last year, and just his offensive prowess and what he's brought this season specifically?
Yeah, it's funny, that moment this morning that you were alluding to, a little bit of a chirp to Dylan Dubé, which is, you know, kind of great. You like to see the guys lighten up a little bit and
line mates
and
too,
be
yeah.
such a good fit in the locker room, which he's been since the day he got here. But you're right, on the ice, he's been excellent. You know, up to 17 goals this year. I think that puts him on pace to have his most productive offensive season in 7 or 8 years. So you really, you know, sort of getting into conversation to a career high if he picks it up a little bit too. So the opportunity has been there, obviously, this year playing in a top line capacity, but he's earned it too. You know, he's never been given an opportunity throughout his career, which actually is a perfect segue, because that was so much of the talk this morning with Daryl Sutter, was, you know, how do you integrate him when he first arrived on scene with the LA Kings and eventually was such a big part of that championship team. He didn't come in and, you know, was given his spot right away. He was called up a few times, sent back, called up again, got a cup of coffee, and, you know, eventually found a way to stick. So he's earned it right from day one. He's earning it now, and he's been just a tremendous fit in this Flames locker room, no question.
Yeah, well said. Let's go back inside that Flames locker room, and let's listen in now on a conversation with Michael Backlund.
Michael, what can you say about the last game in general?
Yeah, just not good enough from the start till the end by all of us. I don't think, not good enough team effort. I thought Pelch looked good out there, and other than that, we all got to be a lot better, and starting myself.
It looks like you guys have had trouble with teams significantly below you, the Sang, Chicago, Montreal, Columbus. Do you have any theories as to why that is?
We got to be coming in better prepared. We've had some slow starts during those games, and I think we played better last game against Columbus, but because we had a better start, we didn't have a good enough start in Columbus, and we need to be come out with more urgency, energy in those games, and be better right from the start. It's, when we've done that, we beat teams that are below us in standings.
This is 10 times now with Jacob in net. You've got one or no goals of support. How frustrating is that to not be able to kind of give them some run support?
It's not acceptable. Mark is playing really well as of late, and we haven't played good enough in front of him, and we all want him to be a lot better next time he's in net.
I know you guys were just in Chicago, but did you take that team over there lately?
No, I don't think so. I think, like I said, we didn't have our best start, and I don't think we took. I don't, you know, in the room we didn't talk about anything like that. That we're in, you know, that we were expecting, or you know, that we would have taken lightly. But bottom line is, we weren't good enough from the start, and we weren't good enough in yet till the finish.
How much emphasis does this result put on tomorrow in Seattle?
Yeah, it's a big game. It was a big game to start with, but now it's an even big game for us. We want to finish off well before the break and feel a little better about ourselves, especially after the way things went tonight. It's a big, big game for us tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Max.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
Original 16, a great way to celebrate things done well.
Welcome back inside Flames Post Game Live, brought to you by Original 16, putting a wrap on this four-game homestand, putting a wrap on this hockey game here tonight. The Chicago Blackhawks win it 5-1 here over the Calgary Flames. The good news is for the Calgary Flames, they have one more opportunity before that 9-day bye week / all-star break. Got to define that because it's not just an all-star break. But that commences on Saturday for this group, and obviously some much-deserved, some well-needed time off. But as you heard from Michael Backlund there just at the end of that, not something you want to head into, heading the wrong direction. And obviously, you know, kind of clinging to that last wild card playoff spot in the Western Conference right now.
Yep.
How big does tomorrow night in Seattle against a team that's right at the top of the Pacific Division.
Oh, every game's a big game, Brendan, at this time of year. No, but you're right. I mean,
let me write that down. Just
every time you go into Climate Pledge Arena, that's one we very quickly become one of the most difficult buildings to play in.
Yeah, it does.
Fantastic fans there, but that Kraken team's rolling along right now. I think their win the other night, they've already surpassed their point total from last season.
Yeah.
It's only January. So pretty impressive stuff. They're the fourth highest scoring team in the NHL right now. So some of those defensive breakdowns that we saw plague the Flames tonight, you got to clean those up in a hurry because that Kraken team is thriving on that right now. It's been the key to their success all season, the fact that they're getting big contributions from, you know, a lot of really talented players up and down their lineup. So, you know, we can talk about the Flames needing to respond to me better, but I think they know they need to be several magnitudes better to not only compete but come out with a win and head into that break feeling good about themselves.
Well, and the interesting thing is both games in Seattle this year are going to come on the back half of a back-to-back. You played them on December 28th after you played Edmonton at home on the 27th, and you went in there and you got a victory following
and
the loss
at home. And they lost them, right.
Yeah.
Great response. And you know, that was a bit different in the sense that, you know, that night against Edmonton, the Flames probably deserved a bit of a better fate, but you could also, the flip side is true, go into Seattle feeling a bit down on yourself because you deserved a better fate in that way, but this time it's maybe almost a little bit easier because they know exactly what they did wrong tonight. Do the reverse tomorrow. Get up for a big game.
Yeah, sure, and, you know, the other part of that is we've talked how much, you know, that congestion there is inside the Pacific Division and Western Conference for that matter. I think it was 6 points separating first from where the Calgary Flames are right now, and obviously they aren't able to close that gap at all, but you do have that opportunity here tomorrow night to do a little bit of that, at least you know, the part that you can control.
Sure, and just keep it tight, right? Daryl Sutter said it, you don't need to be a hero and try to do something that maybe you're not ready for, because it is, after all, January. We've talked about that. The important thing is that you stay in it. Don't fall out of it. So make sure you go in with a game plan, execute it, and at the very least come up with some points, because you need something in addition to the fact to be in that race. You have to feel good about yourself, because otherwise that's a long 9-10 days to be sitting around thinking about what went wrong.
Yeah, well said. And quick shout out on the other side, obviously Jackson Stauber playing in his second National Hockey League game and picks up 2 for 2. He's 2 games and 2 starts and 2 victories in his first year of professional hockey. Obviously spent most of the season down in Rockford, but couple of wins for the Blackhawks. And then one more final note on the other side of things, on the other side of the curtain, Luke Philp here playing his second National Hockey League game. Former member of this organization, signed out of the University of Alberta, earns his first NHL point here tonight and assist.
Yeah, all over the score sheet, actually.
Picked
up a penalty there.
Penalty late
as
well.
So got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure followed and watched closely here as an Alberta boy and a Canmore native. So congrats to Luke Philp on getting his first NHL point in his second NHL game here tonight. All right, that is enough of our shenanigans, and we'll send you off because the Flames got a flight to catch. They're on their way to Seattle to wrap up the pre-bye week schedule. As for us, we'll be looking ahead to the next home game, which is a little ways away from now because there's a road trip coming out of that break as well. Tonight, 5-1, the final. Chicago Blackhawks victorious over the Calgary Flames, but the break is not here yet. Next up, it is a date with the Kraken, first placed at the top of the Pacific Division, at least tied with the Vegas Golden Knights. That's the opposition tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time start from Climate Pledge Arena. Thanks for watching Flames Post Game Live, brought to you by Original 16. We'll see you back here at the Scotiabank Saddledome next month.